The session this afternoon, I know, is the last session before eating and entertainment, so I'll keep it exactly to time, maybe even earlier. What we're looking at here is improving data quality, driving business intelligence value through master data management. So the topics we want to go through is, what is master data management and why do we want to master data? We'll look at an overview of master data management, and then if you don't ask too many hard questions, I'll give you a demonstration of the Prophecy Maestro solution so you can see what it looks like. So, as I said, I'm from the UK. I deal with all territories outside North America, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. Although I live in the UK, I do absolutely no work in the UK at all. So I deal with all other countries outside that area. Just probably a little bit about who Prophecy is first. We started off life in 2007, but before that time, our company name was Strateger, and we developed a solution called EDM, Enterprise Dimension Management, which is all about managing the multitude of dimensions you have within your systems. And that was sold very successfully in North America, to the point in 2006 when a small company called Microsoft became our biggest customer. And in 2007, Microsoft acquired us. And over the next 2.5 years, they incorporated our product EDM into the SQL stack and came out with the 2008 R2 release with a module for the Enterprise Edition called MDS, Master Data Services, which essentially is a platform for mastering data within the SQL Enterprise environment. So does anybody use MDS? Yes, we have a few people there. Does anybody like MDS? Okay, a few people like MDS. I get quite a lot of people saying, yeah, MDS is all right, but the user interface is rubbish, and it only goes so far, and it's limited in this, and it can't do that, and. And then when I tell them that we are the authors of MDS, you know, that's when they start, but
zombie.
Yeah, exactly. So, but what Microsoft did when they took our original product was they ripped it apart, and they took out the user interface, they took out the calculation rules, they took out the fuzzy logic algorithms, and they created it as a platform, which is the correct thing to do for SQL, because SQL is a platform upon which you build applications. And that's exactly what they did with EDM. They made it into a platform called MDS. When we saw what they had done, we then spun off a company called Prophecy and created a solution called Master Data Maestro, which sits on top of the MDS stack as the database. This is basically giving the whole system an enterprise-grade master data management capability. And then over time, we have developed a number of modules to enhance the capabilities of the Maestro server environment. So we've got a software developers kit, which allows us to extend an application to fit exactly the requirements of an organization. It allows us to get at data from any data source. So it's not just the SQL environment. We can get at data from anywhere. We have a number of industry solutions which we've developed, which are basically template models that we have worked with experts in various vertical industries, such as retail, insurance, healthcare, oil and gas, and hospitality and gaming. So we've created the base models upon which we then extend out to specific requirements of that industry. So if you take insurance as a sector, you can't create a model which satisfies every part of insurance, because aviation, marine, household, motor, life insurance, they all have completely different drivers as to what they need. They have the base environment, but they need to extend out. So we've developed some industry solutions for that. We've also got some pre-built adapters or connectors for two CRM systems, Microsoft Dynamics CRM and for Salesforce.com. These are bi-directional connectors to be able to get data out of and put data back into those environments. We have a workflow module which allows us to incorporate the acceptance and rejection type processes you need within a master data management environment. And we released last year the Maestro server into the Azure marketplace, so that people can test out and work with the models they've got in MDS directly from the Maestro environment. And last year we also released something called Federation Manager, which is the ability to synchronize data from within models, between models, and across multiple instances of models as well. And we also got onto the Gartner Magic Quadrant for master data management. Now, do you know about the Gartner analysis and quadrants? For most product areas, Gartner have one magic quadrant. For master data management, they've got two. One for a domain called customer, and one for a domain called product. They don't have a general master data management quadrant. So we are on the customer quadrant, even though we are able to master any domain. Anyway, we'll come on to that in a minute. So, no PowerPoint slideshow is complete without a whole load of logos on there. And this is not us saying, haven't we sold some very big, well-known companies, which we have. It's more to demonstrate the fact that Maestro works across all industry sectors. And it, not only that, it works from very small to very large organizations, very small to very large applications as well. Okay, so it's applicable across the whole area. So one of our smallest companies on the top line up there, Annie's Homegrown. It's an organic food company in California, supplying organic food to educational institutions in California. Probably got a turnover of maybe $20 million, pretty small. And then slightly larger company in the sort of middle on the right, a small company called Intel. It's a little bit bigger than Annie's. But massive, great big organization. They are using Maestro to track all their product information. So clearly Intel make chips, and they sell their chips to the likes of Dell or HP or Lenovo or whoever. But they're also tracking which devices their chips go into in those organizations. So you can imagine the proliferation of laptops and hardware that each of those those companies deliver. You may have heard of a pizza company called Domino's Pizzas. They're very prolific in the States. They are mastering over 500 million records on a daily basis with the Maestro solution. They're looking at all their customer information. So customers can go into a Domino's restaurant to eat. They can also phone up to have a pizza delivered, and they can also go online to have a pizza delivered. And they were treating those three instances as separate customers. Now, one person can do all three of those things. So they are, with all their records of information, they are mastering that through the Maestro solution to get a single view of their customers and their habits about what they're doing. So the challenges with business intelligence, and I spent 25 years in business intelligence before I joined Prophecy. Now, business intelligence, like the pyramid analytics, Power BI, is excellent, really, really good. They're fantastic for analytics, for dashboarding, for graphics, for reporting, and also for other things like, you know, budgeting, planning, etc. And I've spent the last 25 years exposing data quality issues with prospects and clients, because it stares you in the face. When you get a decent graph coming up, you'll see exactly where the issues lie. But business intelligence is not the solution to fix data quality issues, because that's further down the food chain. So business intelligence is only as good as the data it is receiving. You agree? Do you use BI tools yourselves? Yes? No? Some few nods. You come across data quality issues? I quite often ask people, you know, do you have data quality issues in your organization? I've never had anybody say, no, our data's absolutely fine. No problems. Fantastic. So data quality is still suspect. It's still an issue. There's no single version of the truth, because data is coming from different places. You've got lots of systems with overlapping data, and also different ways of describing the same data can mean different things to different people. Business, more and more, is demanding agility, speed in turning things around. And they are making decisions on the data they are seeing. And if that data is incorrect, inaccurate, or of poor quality, then either they're making similar decisions, or they cannot make decisions. I'm talking to a construction company in Sweden right now, where they have bought the BI product that I used to work with before joining Prophecy, and they cannot install it because of the data quality issues. And so they've come to us to try and get that sorted out so they can then move it forward. No disrespect to anybody who's in an IT department of an organization here, but IT can be seen as a blocking, something which actually stops data quality coming through. So, what is master data? You'll probably recognize this sort of record structure we've got here. You know, lots of columns, lots of fields, lots of records. Well, if we look at this, if we just look at that single column, the item name, so item names of different types of coffee and coffee machines and so on, well, item is a bit of master data. We've also got other parts of that same master data. We've got the item number, we've got the description, and we've got the unit price. This all makes up product master data. Okay, so we're looking at a very different way of looking at data. Okay? We're looking at domain-based information, not individual record-based. On the right-hand side, we've got customer master data, so customer name and their shipping address. All right, so this is all from one record. You're getting different master data coming in. And just to the left of the customer data, we've got partner or supplier information already in that record. And all of this information we need to be able to master. So we can break up these records into individual areas and be able to master them. And with the Maestro solution, as I've mentioned about the Gartner Magic Quadrant, they have a quadrant which just looks at customer master data and one that looks at product master data. These are all what we call domains, master data domains, and there are different ways you can actually look at information. You may want to get a 360-degree view of your customer or of your partners or suppliers or products or business units, assets, facilities, geographic areas, you know, reference data is a classic one, and indeed even charts of accounts. We have several companies in the US who have multiple divisions in multiple countries, all using multiple financial systems, and they are wanting to get a single view of their chart of accounts. pulling it together through Maestro to get that single view of chart of accounts. That is not a traditional way of looking at master data, but it's certainly possible. The Maestro solution allows you to have an unlimited number of domains for an unlimited number of users, for an unlimited number of records being processed, and on an unlimited size box which you're processing on. So we don't have no restrictions on users, domains, on size of box or number of records you're processing. Same software, just works across the board. So the MDS architecture, where this is what we're sitting on top of with the Maestro solution. The MDS piece has all the model and rules and the managed schema within it. It's got the security and access. It does bulk loading and consumption of data into the MDS database. It does some hierarchy management, sort of. It's not frightfully good at it, but it can do it. Deployment management and versioning is, again, part of MDS. Application level transaction management, and it has an Excel add-in as its user interface, which is fine. I'm being very politically correct here, or diplomatic, just in case Microsoft are in the audience. Anyway, so that's where the MDS piece is. And for those who want to know more about MDS, we actually run all of the Microsoft training for MDS because we wrote it. And this guy here, Tyler Graham, is one of our senior product managers at Prophecy. So he's in contact, or in fact our development team are in contact with the Microsoft development team every 2 weeks. So they know everything we're doing development-wise with Maestro, and we know everything they're doing development-wise with MDS. And we actually have to correct them every now and again, say, no, don't do that. That's a very bad piece of development, because this is going to be the knock-on effect. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you for that. So we write the books on master data services. We have the all the training courses we've developed, and we run all the training courses online. And if you go onto our website, if you want to get trained in MDS, then you just apply for a coupon and you get free training. So that's a good giveaway for today. So this sort of comes out on the slide. Everything you see on the slide in grey is what MDS delivers, and everything you see in blue is the extension that Maestro puts on the table once you actually install it on top of MDS. Okay? So SQL MDS delivers, it's the robust database, it does security and permissions, the version control, the business rules, staging and view-based integration, and a few things over here, a bit of a hierarchy management. But everything else is the extension that we bring to MDS to create an enterprise-grade solution for master data management. So one of the major things that we're involved with is what we call golden record management. And that is where you're getting the single view of whatever it is you're mastering. Customer, product, employee, suppliers, vendors, whatever it is. Getting that single view where you're gathering data from multiple data sources which may have overlapping records, overlapping information, and actually getting to a single view of that information, that customer. I'll show you this a bit later when I stop talking. So essentially, with golden record management, we're looking at the data quality piece, so address standardization, address deliverability, whether you can deliver to the address or not, and the contact data verification. So we're actually looking at mastering the contact data, make sure the person actually exists. On the matching side, we have matching strategies, which I'll show you, where it does a multiple pass through the information to try and get to a match. Survivorship is the golden record itself within the MDM system, which can be pushed back down to the operating system if you need it to. All right. So if you, we have this concept of get it clean and keep it clean, because if you have the dirty data down in the operating system, it's always being pumped up to the top. So the golden record at the end is the master record, and the hierarchy is actually getting to that single view. So is this making any sense? Is this all right? Okay. Good. So essentially what we're looking at is reducing data quality costs with no per transaction fees. So depending on, you know, there are other solutions around there. It's not just us in this marketplace. But the way in which other solutions are marketed, they do have, you know, differences for how much you get charged for the number of users, the number of records, the number of domains. And in fact, in some instances, they will have completely separate solutions for customer domain and a completely separate solution for product and a completely separate solution for employee or vendor or something like that, not even integrated. This is the piece that is very important with us. So these are the building blocks we have. So we've got SQL MDS down here, which provides the multi-domain MDM database, the version control, security and permissions, and the staging and view-based integration. We then have the Master Data Maestro server that sits on top, which provides the desktop interface, workspace personalization, the modeling, hierarchy management, and so on. And then everything in blue on top of that are optional modules depending on what a client wants to do. So if you want to get that single view, you have golden record management. If you want to do address verification, then there's premium data quality. We don't use DQS in the SQL environment. That's way too limiting, so we've developed our own. We have the software developers kit, as I mentioned, the workflow module, the federation manager for synchronization of data, and then the industry models, as I mentioned. So that's the piece that every organization takes, is the server, and then it's optional as to which one, which modules you have on the from the optional modules to address your particular routine. So the actual architecture, as we saw before, the MDS architecture, where we can get data in from the source systems either through ETL or bulk load into staging tables, which then is into the Master Data Services Hub, and through subscription views, you can then push data out to subscribing systems like BI, we talked about, using IIS, Master Data Services, IIS, to the Master Data Services Hub with its Excel add-in and its admin capability. We're then interacting with the Maestro server, that green box we just saw there, which is sitting on top of MDM, Master Data Management MDS database, and interacting both ways, so pulling data up and also publishing it back. The Maestro desktop, which we'll see just in a second, is where the data stewards and the administrators sit and actually work with the data that's in the Maestro server. And with that, we have capabilities of pulling in data from external databases into the Maestro piece, not necessarily having to pull it in down here. So you can do both. The software developers kit, as I mentioned, is working against the Maestro server environment. And that is interacting through web parts, web components, web services, SharePoint to create portals and part of a portal if you want. And then the workflow works hand in hand with the software developers kit to create the workflow capability within within your application area. And then from the Maestro server, we have Federation Manager, which has its own eventing and queue management, which can then push data out to and receive data in from things like Dynamics, CRM, Salesforce, and other areas of SQL, and also third-party systems. So using the software developers kit, we can actually create additional connectors as well. So we're building up our library of connectors, and third parties are building up, adding to that list as well. So that's enough of PowerPoint. I'm going to sit down now because it's time for a demonstration, unless there are any questions. Anybody got any questions? Anybody want to leave now? Well, okay. Right. So, let's go here. Yep. Okay. So, this is Maestro. And I'm going to have to put my goggles on. There we go. So, this is the desktop interface. This is where the data steward sits and works. And it allows us to, it shows us what we're connected to. So I'm connected to my local environment here. It says I'm connected down the bottom right to a model called Maestro. And this is the interface here. So this is where the data steward can look at different entities, look at different hierarchies, look at the matching results from the golden record management, look at the audit trail, what's actually happened, because we track every single thing that happens. So if somebody makes a change, it tracks what it was before the change was made, who made the change, the date and time when they made it, and what they changed it to. Okay, so that's all being tracked the whole time. And also then it's looking at validation issues. Now, up here, we have all the workspaces, where you can store all the workspaces. So this is where you can personalize your view of the information. Now, for those of you who have used MDS before, you will know that if you open up a model, you can organize the data the way you want it organized. And then if you have to switch to another model, you close that down, open up the other model, change all the view the way you want it, and then if you go back to the first one, it's forgotten everything you've done. Okay? Workspaces are there to help data stewards individually and as groups to organize their data in the way they want to see it and have it maintained like that. So if I had lots of different models, I'd have all the connections down here. I've just got one because I'm not allowed to have any more than one. I'm dangerous if I get too much information. So, if I open up a workspace, it's going off to get the all the data based on my customer B2C model. So here we have all our customers down the left-hand side, and it's got the unique code of each of the customers. We're actually tracking where the data has come from. So the actual source system. So we've got some coming from social media, from SAP, from Dynamics, from JD Edwards, from SysX, whatever that is, banking system, etc. So we're actually tracking where this data has come from into the MDM environment. We've got standardized addresses, phone numbers, social security number, email, city. Now this looks like Excel. It isn't Excel, but it looks like it for a very good reason, that everybody, or virtually everybody, understands and knows Excel. If you give them real Excel, like we have in MDS, then they're really dangerous because somebody can do anything with Excel. Great system, but it can be a problem. So you can do a lot of things in here which are Excel-like. So if I wanted to drag city across to here, then I can do that. You know, to organize the data the way I want it. If I wanted to filter the data just to see specific cities, for instance, then I can I can filter data if I want to. If, for instance, I want to say, okay, I want to look at several records together. So we have Melissa Richardson here, and we also have Melissa Richardson there, and we have Melissa Richardson there. And if I right-click at this point. I've got a whole load of additional capabilities within the Maestro environment to allow me to look at data in a different way. So if I opened up those members there, it now gives me another panel which shows me as a block of records. It's much easier to read side-by-side records than in lines. So we can see here that, you know, this one has come from Salesforce.com, this one's come from Dynamics, and this one's come from JD Edwards. And there's looks like a violation here. It says phone number is required always. Notification to users have not been sent. So I might, as a data steward, say, okay, well, I need to sort that out. So if I control C on that and control V on that, then I've updated that record and that violation has gone away, right? So as a data steward, I can make changes. And all the changes are being made in my desktop environment right now. It's not affecting the database until I publish it. So you can make loads and loads of changes before it actually publishes it back to the MDM database. So I can either publish it and carry on, or I can publish and close. And if I publish and close, then it will save it back to the MDM database. It's not going back to the operating system or the source system. It's just in the MDM environment now. So I've got a number of things that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the customer information. If I wanted to look at a different entity, just press that tab at the top, I go for the entity button, and say, for instance, I want to, you know, here are all the models. So we look at retail product. I can look at a particular version of that product, of that model, say version one, and which entity do I want to look at? So if I looked at, if we look at the product entity, and say OK, it'll go off and get that data, and I'm now seeing product information, right, from a completely different model. So I can flip between customer and product. You can't do that in MDS. So from a usability point of view, this gives the data stewards way more flexibility and way more capability than they were ever able to be capable within MDS. So, okay, we can flip between these environments if we want. If we wanted to look at hierarchies, for instance, this is where we came from with EDM before it became MDS. Let's have a look at the retail product hierarchy. So we're looking at it, again, within the data steward's environment, but this is looking at data not on a record-by-record basis, but this is looking at it in terms of a hierarchy. And so, you know, we can see the hierarchy as built. It's pulling it up from the source system. So we can see under cell phones, we've got cell phones and accessories, and under that we've got all of the cell phones and all of the accessories. Okay, so it's however deep the hierarchies go, so it will reflect that in the MDM environment. But maybe if we just looked at a different way of exposing data, if we looked at, here's a BI form of data. So say, for instance, I'm the sales manager of an organization, and I'm looking at the sales volume of all of my different product lines. And I know intuitively that home appliances, there's no way home appliances would have that sort of sales volume. There's something wrong here. And if I drill down on home appliances, we've got water heaters, refrigerators, microwaves, computer accessories have been put into the home appliances hierarchy. You know, how stupid is that? So from the BI side, I could go and fix this hierarchy on the BI side. But this hierarchy may manifest itself in lots of models elsewhere. And so you'd have to go around and make sure you fix them in every single model. Well, if we go back to Maestro, where this is exactly the same hierarchy. So if we looked at home appliances, there is computer accessories. What we can do in Maestro is just pick up computer accessories and drop it onto computers where it should be. There is computer accessories. And if I go back to here, and if I can find the right place, I need to refresh the data. I need to refresh this data. And typically when you do a demonstration like this, it always takes a little bit of time. You watch the thing going round and round and round. And eventually it will get there. There we are. So we're now looking at the Excel environment, Power BI, you know, Pyramid, wherever, where we've actually fixed the hierarchy from within the MDM system without having, and it's fixed it across the whole of the environment. So if we drill up on this, where were we? We were over here, analyze. So if I wanted to now drill up, we can see that home appliances is where it should be, because I intuitively knew that's it was way too high, and computers is now readjusted based on the change to the hierarchy. So that's another way of messing around with the data within MDM. So hierarchy management. I've talked about golden record management. If we have a look at the matching results, this is where we have the golden record management piece. So if we pulled out, say, what we call a matching strategy, we've got a strategy for all our customers. So if I say OK on this, and I'll just refresh the results. This is the most graphical piece we have within Maestro at the moment. So in comparison to a BI system, this is not sex and sizzle, right? This is real sort of in the data. But this is the prettiest piece you'll probably see. It's good, isn't it? You're impressed. So essentially what a strategy does is we set up a strategy, and I'll show you how we set it up in a minute if we've got time, where you want to say, okay, if a record passes the strategy by more than 90%, then it becomes automatically approved. If it doesn't match with anything else, then you can have a unique member, so it's not matched with any other records. If it matches within a range of a percentage range of, I don't know, 85 to 90%, then it's what's known as a proposed match, where the data steward needs to look at that data and make a human intervention and say, that's wrong, that's right, they make their decisions. So here, we've got 66% are approved matches. We've got 21% are unique members that don't match anything else. And we've got 8% which are proposed matches. So if we looked at the proposed matches, this is where we're looking at customer information. And we have, these are the proposed matches that Maestro is saying you need to make a decision on. So if I pull up this guy, Alan Bryan, down the bottom, yeah, it does come up there, you have all the records that it is being matched against, or Maestro saying, I think it might match this group. So we've got a group of records here called Alana Bryan, okay? And the one at the top is the golden record, hence the one with the different color. And it tells us where the data comes from. It tells us for the master one, it's got a special tag called MDM. It's the master record. And then this one is a proposed record because Alan Bryan is quite close to Alana Bryan, so it could be a typing error. Somebody's left off the A, because if somebody's onboarding a new customer, you know, they just miss it off when they're typing in on a call center. Or it could be a completely different person. But when we look across here, it's at the same address. So it could be a typing error, or it could be a husband and wife. It could be a brother and sister living at the same address. If they're a brother and sister, then they've got their parents to blame if they call them Alana and Alan. Because maybe Alana was supposed to be a chap, a boy when they were born, and when they turned out to be a girl, they said, oh, better put Alana. Anyway, enough of that. So, as a data steward, I can do some other things. So maybe I want to, with this record, say, well, to give me more information about whether this is the right person, maybe I ought to add date of birth into this record structure, and I'll get rid of social security number, and I'll promote date of birth a bit further up so we can see it, say about there. Now if I save that, now it becomes obvious that they are two different people, because Alana Bryan was born in 1989 and Alan Bryan was born in 1978. Okay, so I can, as a data steward, I can either approve or reject this, or I can take this one off and create a brand new record set out of it, okay, if I want to. And then it'll be looked at in the future. Now, if I want to, as a data steward, save all of this as a workspace, I literally just go here, save as, and we'll give it a name. We'll give it Wroclaw. Wroclaw. And if I go back here, we can now see that our workspace, we've got a new workspace called Wroclaw. Okay? So I can go back to that anytime. It'll have all that information coming up. And I'll show you that in a minute. But just before we do that, I haven't got time to show you the audit trail, but it's just a bunch of records, but don't worry about it. If we go to the administration side and we look at the matching and survivorship, this is the matching, the strategy that we have developed for the customer domain. Now, if I edit that strategy, give it a name and which model, which version, which entity. And we look at the actual matching strategy itself. This is a four-step strategy. The first thing it will try and match on, is the social security number. And that needs to have 100% match. And if it fails that test, it then goes down to the next one, which is standard address and name. So it'll try and match on the standard address and name. And that has a threshold of 85%. If it's 85% or above, up to 91%, then it becomes a proposed match. If it's above 91%, it becomes automatically approved. If it's below 85%, it gets rejected. And then if it fails that one, it goes on to the phone number and name, and then the email address and name. And if it fails all of those, then it gets rejected as a match. So if I edit this part of the system here, we're looking at the standard address, which has to be an exact match, and it has to be 100%. Okay, so the address has to be exact. But the name is a token match, and that has to be 70% accurate. And a token match means we will take, and you can decide how many characters of the token size. In this case, it's three characters. It'll take three characters in chunks and work across the actual name or whatever you're looking at. And I got 15 seconds or 15 minutes? 15 minutes, all right. I'll be finished way before that. So it takes three character chunks and works across the name. And this works in any language. We tried this in Arabic, in Thai language, or character sets and all sorts. And we've tried it in Cyrillic as well. And it seems to work pretty well. Or at least it comes out with a result. I hope it's right. It seemed to be right. So the average between 100% and 70% is 85. That's why we had an 85% lower threshold. And then you decide what the auto-approve threshold is of 91, in this case 91%. And with these match strategies, you tend to do several iterations. Like the first iteration, you'll get everybody as approved, which you know is incorrect. So you then have to refine it down so that you are actually getting that that level of accuracy for the data stewards, for your data, your data itself. Is this sort of making sense? Yeah? Okay. So I'm not a technologist. You guys are, you know, way in the stratosphere in comparison to me on technology. Now, I haven't had to do any coding at all, which is probably a very good thing, because I'm sure I would be embarrassed by how bad I was at it, but you would be correcting me the whole time. You can do an amount of coding within the Maestro environment, in the administration piece, in developing web forms and doing connections with other databases and so on, but a lot of the effort that is involved with the Maestro environment is either drag or drop, or it's just making selections and making changes. And this is really, let me just cancel out of here. This bit, the golden record management piece, is one of the major modules that we have, which is world beating in comparison to what we have elsewhere, what is available elsewhere. So just to show you that if we switched to the just the customer B2C, I don't want to save that one there. You see it's shutting down everything and then just reloading the customer B2C one. And if I went, if I shut that down, went back to the Wroclaw one, it's picking up customer, product, the product category, hierarchy. It's doing the matching results, and yeah, so we're back to where we were. So from a productivity point of view, for a data steward, it's way more productive than using with MBS. So, looks like I've run out of steam with 10 minutes to go, but I'm sure you'll be very, very pleased to... Oh, I've got a question. Right. Sorry, carry on. Yes, sir. Yep. Business rules are set up within MDS at the moment. With the current version of Maestro, we're still relying on the MDS business rules. We are going to be replacing the business rules with our own business rules engine within Maestro, because we regard the MDS business rules as being, again, too restrictive for what we want. So that is coming in a release. We're hoping it's going to be by the end of this year. It may slip into next year, but the business rules, at the moment, we rely on the MDS business rules. Security, at the moment, again, is being picked up from the SQL environment. We will be adding, we have added a layer on top of the security in Maestro, and we are enhancing that over time, because again, we have had comments from our customers that they need more capability within the security area. But I can't really tell you too much about that, because number one, I don't know, and number two, if I did know, I'd have to shoot you all. Yeah, so alright. Forget that last comment, chaps, whoever's listening. Did that sort of answer your question? Any other questions? No? You all can't wait to get out there and have your photograph taken at 7 o'clock and then go eating and drinking and... Oh, question. Yes. Say again?
Workflow.
I don't have a workflow example here on my laptop. In fact, I don't. I thought I had another PowerPoint, but it's on an external drive, which I've left at the hotel. Apologies about that. What did you want to know about the workflow? Just how it works, or? Okay, it's a module that you actually develop depending on exactly how you want to have workflow embedded within your system. So, if you want to have multiple levels of approval for particular routines, then the multiple levels can be incorporated. You can also have escalation processes within the workflow, so that if somebody who is supposed to make an answer within a period of time doesn't, then it can get escalated. You can define the workflow. It's basically a toolkit where you can define it to do exactly what you need it to do. I had a prospective customer who sent me a picture of their workflow process, which was, you had to zoom it out to actually figure out what the hell was going on. And I sent it across to our chaps in the US, our headquarters in the US, and said, you know, is this going to be, are we going to be capable of doing this with the workflow? Because I'd never seen that sort of complexity. He shot back immediately, yeah, absolutely, no problem at all. And he then sent me an example of a workflow that we had done for Ernst & Young, EY, the consulting and audit company, which ran to about three screens on a PowerPoint, and it was incredibly complex what they were achieving. So in a traditional workflow, you know, you have decision trees, so you get to a point, you know, do you do this, do you do that? And if you do that, then do you do this and this and so on? Difficult to sort of talk about it without sort of having it, and I should have got a slide up there, but I haven't, I'm afraid. But if you want to give me your email address afterwards, I can send you the PowerPoint that describes it more adequately than I can talk about it. Yep. Looks like it's party time. Thank you very much indeed for your help. Thank you.